Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. We are broadcasting live today from our new Frankston studio. Come down and say hello. We're in Balmoral Walk, just near the corner of Shannon Mall here at Bayside Shopping Centre. Those regular listeners will know that I'm Jackie Mitchell, and if you don't know that, you do now. So today we talk about changing careers as a businesswoman. Our interesting guests today all have very inspirational, fascinating, and great stories to tell about how they got from A to Z and everything in between. Today's show is made possible by our groundbreaking friends at the EView Group, Australia's first multi-brand real estate network. We just love being part of change and innovation here at Taking Care of Business. And last Friday, we launched RLPFM's first pop-up studio here in Frankston. So as I keep saying, and I like to say, just pop in to the pop-up and say hi. Our first guest today has been generating a lot of attention. She normally generates quite a bit of attention, but it's a bit more than the normal. She has just released a best-selling biography called The Footy Lady, which is about Susan Alberti. She's just been elected as a councillor for the city of Greater Geelong, and she's just jetted back from Hollywood. We're going to find out what in the hell's going on. I'd like to welcome Stephanie Asher.
Thank you, Jackie.
Great to have you here. Thank you for the effort to be here, because you have so much on your plate at the moment, and we're so privileged that you've managed to squeeze us into your extremely busy schedule. Now, let's talk about this hot book at the moment. We've been promoting it on our social media, and it's called The Footy Lady, and it's the trailblazing story of Susan Alberti. Who is, I suppose I'll let you tell us, who is Susan Alberti?
Well, she's probably one of the most inspirational people you could ever meet. She's a long-standing, successful businesswoman, probably most well-known as the driving force behind the AFL Women's, but also, you know, amongst medical research circles, Australia's greatest and most well-known philanthropist for diabetes research, type 1 diabetes research.
Yes, I read that she's raised over $120 million. That's extraordinary,
correct,
isn't it?
Yes, she was president of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation of Australia for 30 years, and she also runs her own foundation, which she set up the minute her young daughter at 12 was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
And tragically, that daughter died in her arms on a flight from LA to Melbourne.
Correct.
She was in her late 30s, was she?
Early 30s,
early
32.
32, yeah. Danielle. So as you can see, I haven't quite finished it. I'm, you know, about three quarters, maybe just
a half. You're savouring it, aren't you?
I am savouring it. Well, I'd like to be a bit surprised, but it was good. I was at the launch. Thank you very much for the invitation. And listening to both yourself and Susan speak, and then reading the book. And I knew a little bit about her from her background with the Western Bulldogs.
Of course.
So, and then also Dantsu Constructions, which was her construction company, her family construction company that her husband ran. And then he died tragically as well.
That's right. He was hit by a truck on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, and they did actually run the organisation together. It's usually the man who takes the front seat, I guess, but it was very clear to me interviewing people involved in Dantsu that Sue wasn't just the back room, she was actually the backbone of the business. She did a lot of the relationships with the real estate agents and all the sort of heavy-hitting stuff for the business.
Well, I think you've done that justice in the book, because that came through, which I was really pleased to see that. Particularly her husband was Italian. So you get these stereotypical perceptions that being Italian, that the wife, you know, wouldn't have such a great role in his business. Mm. But she did.
Yeah, absolutely. They were a superb team. Angelo, there was no doubt that he was an incredibly charismatic man and great character and a lot of fun. I could have written a book about stories about Angelo. He was hilarious, some of the things that he got up to, and Sue as well. I mean, they're very funny, very funny pair, great sense of humour. But in order to make sure that we fit everything in that Sue's achieved in her life, I had to probably, be fairly conservative about how much I put in about Angelo.
Now, you've obviously got a great background as a writer, but is this the first biography that you've written?
Yes, it is the first biography.
Was that a bit challenging, or was it easy? What was it like?
Oh, look, it wasn't easy. Probably the most difficult part was to work out how to best approach it, given that I didn't know Sue well. I pitched the concept to her, which was that we'll start with a book, but from the get-go, I saw Sue as a movie. She's had so many really incredible tragedies, so many exciting activities going in her life, and she's incredibly visual. She's a very, very pretty woman, very attractive. She's known as an incredibly glamorous person, and she's always flawlessly presented.
She's always got her pearls on.
Always got her pearls on. There's a little funny story in there that she was at one of the VFL women's matches on a fairly sunny day in her Western Bulldogs tracksuit, because she was the board director for 12 years and deputy president for about four, and she was there in her tracksuit, and it started to warm up, and as she unzipped her tracksuit top, the pearls were there underneath the tracksuit. So her fingernails were always perfect. She's always dripping in diamonds and jewellery, loves her jewellery and her Carla Zampatti jackets. She's beautifully, beautifully presented. So she's a very visual person, and a lot of what happened would make an amazing movie, which is why I was over in LA.
How did it come to pass? So how did you get to pitch to her? Did you come up with the idea, or how did that work? Did she find you?
I knew that she was looking, and we have a mutual contact, and we met. I pitched to her.
Oh, okay.
We just clicked straight away.
Yeah.
I put forward my proposal, and I was very delighted when she accepted. And then it was to go through the process of how do we approach this. You know, did you want me to ghostwrite? Did you want a first person? Did you want a tribute style biography? Mm. And we landed on the tribute style biography, and I said I would like to interview as many people as possible to validate, really. I think it's always better that other people say things, amazing things about you than having them come from your own mouth. And Sue's a very modest person. So the list was 50 people.
I was going to ask you, 50 people?
50 people. And, you know, that was challenging in itself, just to find the time to get all those interviews. But actually the worst part was listening back to my own voice on the recordings.
I can relate to that.
It's really tricky, yeah.
It is tricky.
Because you need to really facilitate conversation, yeah. So you don't always, this is just not focusing on how you present yourself. So, but amazing people to interview, you know, from Tony Abbott to Ida Buttrose, and, you know, a lot of really important and incredibly intelligent people. So that was a real honour to do so.
We've got lots to talk about today, Stephanie Escher, because I also want to talk about your Hollywood experience, because I know you've just got back from Hollywood.
Correct.
Talking about the movie. We're going to hold that thought a little bit, and those listening, you'll just have to listen to the end to find out the answer, like any good book.
Yes.
Because sitting next to you is another author who we used to all work together. I should flag that. You know, full disclosure, Stephanie, Heidi, Catherine, who I'm about to introduce, and I used to all work together back in the mid to late 90s, so it's a long time ago. So we all know each other really well, from a professional perspective. And Heidi Catherine started out in marketing, and she's now Amazon number one bestseller, and she's a bit modest about it. She says in a subcategory, but to me, that's, I'd claim that. And she's been on the show before, but now she's got this number one book, and I'd like to welcome back Heidi Catherine. Hello.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for having me here.
You've achieved your dream, and I know that I've been following your career, of course, right from the beginning, actually, to now. And we had you on about you changing careers earlier from being in marketing to always your dream to be an author and the process. And you've won a lot of awards along the way, but you just couldn't quite crack the published author. And now you have, so I had to have you back. How did that happen?
Well, it happened as you've alluded to, with a lot of hard work, a lot of persistence, a very thick skin, not giving up, and just working at it slowly. So when I couldn't get a novel published easily, I was getting short stories published. I've had 5 short stories published now, entering competitions and also expanding my network. So getting to know other writers, joining organisations, and just really starting to learn more, meet more people, learn more, get new ideas, and find there's always other ways in. So it's been a real learning experience.
I love that insight, because I hear authors being interviewed about their book, and it's about their book because that's really what it is. But I love the backstory. It's not just one day, oh, I'm just going to write a book. I'm a really great writer, and I'll just put it together. Oh, my God, it's number one. I'll just do another one. But they lose sight of, and everyone thinks it's really easy to do, and it's not easy to do, because you've always been an extremely talented writer. But it's funny that the harder you work, the luckier you get. So you've put in that hard work. Now, why did you choose this style? It's called The Soul Weaver, and it's pre-sales only, so you actually can't get it. I said to Heidi, where's your book? Bring me in a copy of it. She goes, well, it's not released yet. But it's pre-sales on Amazon right now. But how come you decided to write a book called The Soul Weaver, and who's it targeted to?
Okay, it's a romantic fantasy novel.
Ooh.
And I've written quite a few different things and quite a few different genres, but in the end I learnt the lesson probably the long way and the hard way, which is you should really write the kind of book that you would like to read yourself. So I was writing all sorts of things, but my heart wasn't 100% in it. And I decided, well, I'm going to write the book that I want to read. Mm. And that's where the Soul Weaver came from. And as soon as I gave myself permission to do that, not write what I thought would be easy or would be easy to get published, just write the book that I want to write, the words just flowed. And it was a really genuinely enjoyable experience to write it.
Now, you won the Romance Writers of Australia's Emerald Pro Award, which sounds very impressive. What was that?
So that's an annual competition run by Romance Writers of Australia, and it's for unpublished manuscripts, and they award it to the best unpublished manuscript. Mm. So there's two categories. The Emerald is for unpublished authors, and the Emerald Pro is for published authors. So I entered the published author category because of my short stories that I'd had published, and it was funny. I didn't really rate my chances. I was being a little bit pessimistic, which isn't necessarily like me, because I thought I was up against other published authors, so I felt that I was at an unfair advantage, and I won it.
And so when you won it, what do you win?
You win the honour and glory.
So you get a lovely title.
A lovely trophy.
and you get to put that on the front cover of your book that you're a winner.
You do. Yeah. And I didn't enter it for any prize other than that. I just entered it for the feedback. And that's one of the most important things about entering these competitions.
So it's not just the credentials, it's the feedback.
That's
you
right.
get feedback.
Because the manuscript went through two rounds of judging, and at each round you get several judging sheets back with critiquing your work, the good and the bad. So it gives you a good opportunity to then perhaps revise your manuscript if needed. So.
Okay, now I know Heidi's background role. We're going to talk a little about that, and with Stephanie as well. But you have to promise me that you won't tell them any bad stories about our time working together. Look at them. I know they're going to. Maybe they will. You know, you can. I don't care. Thank God social media wasn't around then, is all I can say. But it's interesting because I know that Heidi Catherine's background, her father was in the crime industry,
yes.
But not as a mafia boss. was he in forensic analysis?
Yeah, he was a forensic scientist.
Forensic scientist.
Yes.
And I know that we've talked about that could be a potential inspiration for future
yes.
crime novels.
I have actually written two crime novels that are unpublished at the moment. Mm. And once my Soul Weaver series is out, that will be my next focus to find a home for them.
Well, there's a nice little segue because after this short break, our next guest was a police detective and is now completely not doing that anymore, but she's still using her detective skills in business. So we're going to meet Pippa Hansen, who's going to share her story about how she transitioned and the leap that she took and what she's doing now and how she can apply those detective skills to business, which I think we can all use a magnifying glass to help us improve our business processes and growth. You're listening to Taking Care of Business exclusively here on Ardoa PFM as we broadcast live from the new Frankston studio. And don't go anywhere because we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are watching The Detectives. That was Elvis Costello. I do like that song. And the reason we played that song is because we have the business detective in the house. I'd like to welcome Pippa Hansen.
Thanks, Jackie.
Great to have you here. Now, you were a police detective. How many years were you in the job?
About 18 in the end.
Oh, it's a long time,
so
isn't it?
Phased out to part-time and then left altogether.
Yeah. And what was the reason you left?
Started a swap from police detective to business executive and left to be full-time in the business.
Okay, so. And what was the motivation from... Because that's quite a big leap, isn't it, from being a police detective into business. What was the drivers or motivation behind that swap?
I never thought I'd stay probably more than 10 years, have a family and enjoy other challenges, enjoy investing in property, and it sort of started that way.
Okay. And so your skills as a detective, what are some of the skills that you learnt on the job when you were in the police force that you now apply in your business? And I bet there's some that you're not probably aware of that other people get blown away, go, oh my God, how did Pippa do that? And you go, oh yeah, I forgot I knew that. So what are some of those skills?
I think when I stop and look at it, I do use investigative skills to see how the business is tracking and what the true story of the performance is at any one time. And I probably have three areas that I look at. So that investigating, and we can sort of go back to that. The crew, so who's on my team, that's internal and external.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
culture
yeah.
is huge about success.
Mm.
And health, so health of not only the business, but again, of the team.
Now, the team culture you picked up, is how important is that in the police force? I would imagine it would be very, because you're always working in teams, aren't you?
Yeah, well, particularly when it's about trust and it's about looking out for each other in situations that you walk into. So, and culture can make or break a team, and productivity increases when the culture's great, and that doesn't matter what organisation you're in. Higher rate of solving crimes if you've got people that want to get out and work together and work harder for each other.
Mm.
And in business, a greater outcome for everyone as well.
Yeah. So at the moment, you are CEO of the Sports Injury Clinic in Frankston, and you do quite a bit of keynote speaking as well. When you do your keynote speaking, what do you talk about?
Yeah, look, it does depend on who I'm talking to, but it's usually about the areas of business that you can improve on, and using some of the, I suppose, the secrets in the detective kit that you can transfer over to being in business. So I sort of break it down into, you know, you might have a magnifying glass, and that's really to hone in and really focus on the elements of your business. So the finances, the people, your marketing plan and your direction that you're heading in. When I think back to handcuffs, it's about not being handcuffed to your business. So what processes and procedures can you implement and improve on, and not only for myself but for my staff, they've got families and don't want to be handcuffed to their jobs either. So what can we do to empower the whole team so that everyone has a great lifestyle and enjoys their work and their time off work?
So what sort of team building things or cultural things do you do now in your business?
Over the years we do team building activities where we'll enter fun runs or go on camps. We have a very diverse range of people that work there.
Imagine.
So the team is about 60, and anything from 19-year-old to, I don't want to say the oldest, they might get offended, but
yeah,
I think it's about
100.
55, yeah. and it is just that culture of openness, honesty, care for each other.
That's interesting. Now, the other thing is the investigating. So what do you investigate in your business? Are you just looking at the numbers? Is that what you investigate? Or are you investigating how staff are behaving? Do you do any investigative stuff on customers or clients? Like, what sort of skills do you use for that?
Yeah, it is. It's the whole business. So it's not just numbers. That would be very naive. The health of staff, their well-being, their mental state. In the health profession, they're daily looking after other people. So if they can't look after themselves or something's happened in their life and their health's suffering, whether that's physical or mental, they're no good to anyone else and to the clients that are coming through the door.
Do you miss the police force?
I miss the thrill of the chase.
Oh,
the
really?
The adrenaline side's fun. Give the paperwork away, but the thrill of the chase, you can't replicate that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, I know when we were talking earlier that your staff have a bit of a joke about you and hugging. Is that right? Tell us about that. Just tell us about that for a minute.
So when I left, working in the police force, people I worked with are very similar to me. It's black, it's white, there's an answer. You have to make decisions quickly. You are the person with all the answers. So you're thinking on your feet and people go to you for help and to solve all their problems. And naturally, I suppose you have that wall up because you're not really interacting in any other way.
Mm.
We're moving across the health profession. They are all very caring, loving people.
Yes, and very tactile.
Very tactile. Used to, you know, touching people for a job and they are quite affectionate and quite, and so that's their mission, to teach me to hug non-A-framed.
I think that's really gorgeous. Now, you're really good at networking as well. I know I go to some functions, not enough probably, but it's just a time factor. But every time I go to one, particularly on the peninsula, you're there. And you're on a lot of committees and things like that. How important is that for you? Is that for you your personal growth, or is that promoting your business, or what's the reason why you go to those events?
It's definitely promoting the business and finding other networks. I'm not a practitioner, so I'm not meeting people daily face-to-face, so it is about going out and meeting other businesses. But a lesson probably came fairly early on, and I think we've chatted about it before, that in the police force, straight away you're given the power, you're given the networks, you've got the respect. It's just naturally what you're sort of handed when you graduate. But in business, you have to earn that and work on those relationships and work on meeting people and having true, meaningful relationships to be successful in business.
Yeah. So what's your barbecue pitch? You know, when you, people you first meet and they go, oh, what do you do? How do you answer that?
What, now or then?
No, now. Right now.
No, talk about the fact that we've got the sports injury clinic and that we're an multidisciplinary clinic to solve people's health problems and get them back into their life.
Okay, and hashtag business detective.
Yep, talk about how I do public speaking and try and really empower people to know what to look for in their business. Some, yeah. You know, people don't know what they don't know, but there's so many resources and people around to help and to give them an idea, even if it's three categories to really focus on.
Yeah. So what's your future plan? Are you continuing to grow the injury? Are you going to franchise it? Are you going to get on, you know, full-time on the speaker circuit? What's the vision for Pippa Hansen?
The clinic, we won't franchise. We'll stay where we are. And I wanted to maintain a workplace where people can have the balance and have their own family time and work time. So just the ongoing growth of within that building. And on the side, yeah, continue to do public speaking, and I get a thrill from that. So
what's your plan for that public speaking? Are you going to join a speakers bureau, or have you sort of figured out what to talk about? Because it's a very competitive field, public speaking. Is there anything in particular that you think, is there a gap in the market that you think you can fill?
I think it is using those detective skills and how that crosses over into business. And it brings up things like resilience and minority groups and, you know, covers off on quite a lot of different areas and challenges that I faced along the way that I'm now using.
Yeah, like I'm glad you brought up resilience, because it's a really great topic. It's one of those words of the year. There's a couple, collaborations, another one. Certainly resilience. So what tips would you give someone about building resilience?
I think you can't take things personally. So circumstances happen or events happen, and you just have to find a solution to it, find the outcome, move on, learn from it. If it's something that you had control over, change it for next time. But if you had no control, then don't take it personally and move on.
Yeah. So when you were in the police force, you would have seen some extreme circumstances of the human condition. We all know that, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for anyone from the police force, because it's certainly beyond my capability. So when you saw that, how did you deal with that? How did you manage not to take that home?
Talking about it is a huge thing. You have to be able to talk, and I used to tell quite bad jokes, black humour, and my sister would probably pull me into line and say, you can't say that to non-police people, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because they were probably totally inappropriate, but yeah. It was a way of dealing with trauma and the things that you do see.
Yeah.
But also knowing that there are resources out there to help, and you've got a role to do. So your role is X. It's, you know, solving the crime, taking that person to court if that's the outcome, but there are many other people involved in getting support for victims, and just do your part. You can't control it. You can't control the court outcome, so don't get upset by it.
Yeah, I was talking to a ex-police officer the other day, just by chance, and she's now completely going into a different direction. She's now doing home styling. I could talk about transition. But she came to my house. She's an old friend. And I noticed the way she was looking. We were talking about styling, and she was looking at my house, and she'd start at the ceiling and go down, where I actually go left to right, where she was sort of up and down. And I noticed her eyes, and I said, why? She said, oh, that's my police training. Is that true? Were you trained to look when you go into a scene, a crime scene, that you look from the ceiling down to the floor, then from the floor back up to the ceiling? Is that...
Well, I think for me it's more about tunnel vision. You can't just be looking in one spot. You've got to be taking in the whole picture.
Yeah.
And even sitting here with you today, you're probably noticing, like, I'm watching who's walking past. And
I was about to ask that.
You don't switch off. I don't think you ever lose that.
So when you're looking at people, what do you look for? Like, what do you notice when you see someone walking past? Are you looking for something out of the ordinary, or is there a particular thing that you look at as a detective?
I think it's just, sitting here like today, I think it's just a radar for, is there going to be an incident? Is something going to happen?
Okay, so when you meet people, do they feel intimidated when you say to them that you were a detective?
Some people do, but there are
they get a bit self-conscious, and then they go, oh my, you know, and the self-conscious, does your red flag go, what are they guilty of? What have they done? I would, if it was me, I'd go, why are they feeling uncomfortable?
I think naturally you judge pretty quickly, but you try to not let that impact on what you think of them.
Right. And you're actually a good netballer as well, I believe.
I do play netball.
I know. I heard on the grapevine, little bird comes and visits me regularly, and I go, what's the latest, little birdie? And they go, well, Pippa's actually quite a good netballer. Has that influenced your view on health and your promotion of health?
I think as a family, we've always been into sport and into health. And there was a time when I stopped playing sport, having children, and then one of them made a comment one day about, oh, how come you're the only one that doesn't do sport? And I was mortified that they thought that I was an inactive mum, and so I went back into it. So I only had a few years off, but then, yeah, and I do love it. It's an outlet.
Yeah, great. Well, on the other side of this break, you're going to hang around for the rest of the show, and you can see we're on Facebook Live right now. You'll see Pippa, if you've just heard that, and you'll see sitting next to Pippa is Heidi Catherine, and then if I'll turn this around, there's Stephanie Asher, but you've got a pole in front of your face.
Probably good.
Yeah, no, it's not good. No, you definitely have not got a face for radio. And then here I am. Hello. Okay, so we are going to come back and talk to these three wonderful people. And I say people, not women. It's one of my things, because it's almost like you are great people regardless of gender. So I think sometimes we can be a little gender focused, and it's about actually going, you know what, doesn't matter what gender you are, you've done great stuff, you're doing great stuff, inspirational, and you're kind enough to share your story. And those listening today, hopefully you get some inspiration from today and learn some new things. You are listening and watching the best brains in the business here on Taking Care of Business, and we'll be right back after this very, very, very short break. We are talking about career changes for women, and that was Rick Springfield, who I love, but the song was relevant. It was called Souls, and we have here the author of The Soul Weaver. So I did that especially for you, Heidi Catherine.
Thank you.
I was going to do Dream Weaver, and I go, it's not about dreaming, it's about Soul Weaver. And Heidi Catherine has just released, pre-sales on Amazon, but number one already in pre-sales. It's going to be a smash hit, I know it. The Soul Weaver. I'm also joined here by Pippa Hansen, the business detective, and also Stephanie Asher. Now, Stephanie Asher, what do I call you? What's your barbecue pitch?
We were just discussing this in the break, because Pippa did such a wonderful job of nailing her barbecue pitch. Mm. I find it tricky because I do wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
So is it published author? Is it leading a management consultancy? Is it at the moment
counsellor?
Yeah, that's the fourth one. I did have it nice and tidy. I had three. I'm a writer, an author.
And management consultant.
I run a management consultancy. I take on contract work with corporates as well. And that was three. It was easy to remember. Now I have to add in counsellor with the City of Greater Geelong as well.
Yeah.
So
I know a lot of people in that situation will call themselves an entrepreneur, but I don't know if that's... Is that fitting for you? It is tricky, isn't it?
Somebody who wants to hear about books and authorship isn't really interested in entrepreneurship.
No,
so,
and you're a storyteller, but then as a counsellor, is that relevant as a counsellor?
Right.
Yes, it is challenging, isn't it?
And a mother, of course, and
There's all that.
There's all of that as well.
Actually, speaking of that, and Pippa, just before the break, you were talking about your netball and how kids that someone mentioned about, you know, not playing sport, and then you went, oh, my God, I need to go and play some sport. But it got me thinking about the three of you and your careers and the change. You've done a lot of change, but you've always had a career from sort of leaving school or leaving university to now. And you are all mothers. You all have children. Steph, you've got three kids. Heidi has two. Pippa, how many? You've got three as well.
Three.
Okay. All right. So that's a lot. How do you manage children, family life, and your career? I'll start with you, Pippa.
It's a juggle.
Is it?
It's a bit of a schedule that goes on, and you bring up independent children so they can be a part of the family team and a very supportive husband.
Okay.
And
so
parents.
That's key. Oh, and parents as well. Okay, it's important. Heidi, Catherine, how do you manage it?
I found it difficult, to be honest, when I first had the kids and tried going back to work. And that was one of the reasons why it was attractive to me to do something like writing. Mm. Before I was a writer, I was a freelance proofreader, and I found that quite an easy way to be able to juggle kids and being at home, and that. But after a while, I got sick, I suppose, of reading other people's words and wanted to write my own words, which is why I transitioned to being a writer. But it's a juggle, it still is. But
still is.
It's easier when you can set your own hours and when you can work from home, mainly. It makes it a lot easier. And also, supportive husband as well is part of the picture. If you're lucky enough to have that, then that's that helps.
Evan from heaven. He is, isn't he?
He's listening now, so he'll be smiling. He'll be smiling at that.
Hi, Evan. Stephanie, how do you manage it?
I'm glad you used the word manage, because I don't want to take issue with the word juggle, but I will, because I was taught a few years ago that if we say that we juggle, we're implying that we might drop something. And I think that's doing a disservice to women, because I think as people, we're absolutely amazing time managers, and that's what it comes down to, being incredibly organised and managing time well and knowing how to prioritise, which are all very strong leadership traits, which men often get rewarded for and promoted for, but it's just expected of women, and we call it juggling. So we do ourselves a disservice. So I always say I manage it, and absolutely supportive husband. I heard somebody say once, and I thought that is so true, the most important decision that you make in your life is your partner. And I think, you know, with a good person behind you, of whatever gender that is and whatever choices you make. You know, my husband's incredibly supportive as well. And we're one of the 3% where I'm the breadwinner and he's the house dad. And it is only 3%, and there's a lot of obstacles there, a lot of perception issues.
Is that
issues.
All it is?
Yeah.
It's tough. That's interesting.
It's changing, supposedly, but I don't know that it's really changing. Yeah.
Now, we talked earlier that Stephanie, Hardy and I used to all work together. And Pippa, I don't want to make you feel left out, but you might actually enjoy this little conversation.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I bet you are. We had lots of fun working together, and I'll declare, I was back in, I think it was 98 when I met you, and it was at Yarra Valley Water in a utility. And it was when, in those days, when Jeff Kennett was premier, and it was going through contestability, so they were going through privatising water, so they were recruiting people with commercial experience. That's where I came from. I didn't come from government or public service to come and manage the corporate communications, marketing and branding of that transition. And I inherited, I had two staff, and I inherited these two. How lucky was I at the time? So that was really awesome. And the fact that we're still friends and we've been following each other's, all three of us supporting each other's career transition, very much so. But what I found most interesting, I mean, I know you were in that, look at Stephanie's face. I should have Facebook Live on now, because Stephanie's face is, you know, if she can pull herself together, she's laughing, because it was good fun. But you, your job was as publications writer. So you were writing then. So have you always been like, wanted to be a writer, always written?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was actually media as well. So I did the media and the publications and all the corporate affairs stuff. But yeah, look, I did an English Lit degree. That was where I started with writing.
So you, you've always writing. But then I went, well, Hardy wasn't a writer. Hardy was in marketing, and you used to manage the schools program. So you'd go around to schools and speak about water and things to school children. Yes. And now you're a published author. Did Stephanie influence you at all in that process?
She did, actually, because Stephanie was probably one of the first people who actually said to me, Heidi, you're a really good writer. And that really meant a lot to me at that time, because I had a lot of respect for Steph, I still do, and her opinion was, you know, really important to me. And for her to actually pull me aside and tell me that, it meant a lot. And when someone tells you you're good at something, it makes you want to be even better.
Yeah.
And so Steph really was very instrumental in me choosing that as a path to head down.
I just got goosebumps when Heidi said that. I've never heard that before. And I would actually qualify it and say she's an exceptional writer because you can write across so many different genres and styles, which is the testament to a true writer.
I haven't heard you say that either, but in prep for today, I just had a feeling that Steph did influence you, just looking back at the time and what we did, and you know, it was groundbreaking stuff. What we did was, you know, really incredible, just moving and shaking, moving mountains, weren't we? And I thought that might be the case. Do you miss the marketing world, Heidi?
Sometimes I do. I miss being part of such a supportive team. I loved working with you two and with the rest of the team as well. And so choosing to be a writer, it's a very lonely at times to do that, and although I've got connections with other writers and we text and we email and we keep in touch, it's not quite the same as being face to face in a team. So it's quite different. I do miss those days sometimes, but then the good comes with the bad as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, everything's got to change. And then also I should say, from Yarra Valley Water, we all sort of went over to City Power, didn't we? Because then Kennett lost the election to Brax, and then water wasn't privatised anymore. They said, no, we're not going to sell it off. And then three of us said, what's the point of working in a marketing organisation where the customers have no choice? It's like the laziest marketing job ever. Mm-hmm. So we're going, that wasn't for us. So we all went, okay, well, gas and electricity is still going to privatise. Let's go over there. So we all flipped over to that. So that time, Heidi, did that influence any of your writing at all?
Not so much. I guess what I found with any marketing job that I had, I was always drawn to the writing side of it. Mm. So I always found myself looking after the publications, looking after the annual report, looking after the in-house newsletter, all those sorts of things. So I guess what I was noticing was that was what I was enjoying, was the written side of things. Mm. And so that was where I naturally headed. So I suppose it did. It did influence it from that, when I look at it in that way.
Now, you're writing fiction at the moment.
Yes.
Is that always going to be the case, or have you got an interest in non-fiction, a bit like what Steph's done with the biography?
No, 100% fiction.
Do you want to think about that?
don't hesitate.
Yeah. How come?
I don't miss non-fiction writing at all.
Really? Why not?
I always found I could do it, and I was reasonably good at it, but I never enjoyed it.
Ah, okay. So why is that? Is that because you like the creative process?
I suppose it was like what I was talking about a bit earlier. If you write what you love writing, I think that's when your writing really shines. Mm. So I enjoy the creative process of fiction writing.
Mm. Pippa, in your job, what sort of creative process do you do? Or do you enjoy the creative process? And how do you manage to get creative in running your business?
I'm more numbers than writing, so I couldn't write anything to save myself.
Yeah,
but my creative side is probably around the people, the culture of people. Yeah, I love empowering people and showing them that they can achieve things, and listening to Stephanie say, give you that feedback. It was, you know, that's great leadership, giving someone some positive feedback rather than negative all the time, and empowering. And I really love that, of helping people to be their.
Yeah. Stephanie, do you miss the technical writing? Because that's really, that's when I first met you. You were doing all the technical writing, and one of, you know, I would say Australia's leading technical writers, and you're still doing that now. Stephanie had this incredible ability, which she still have, that she could go to these meetings and I couldn't understand a word that they were saying. It was so complex, scientific, technical, and a lot of it was, you know, with all the environmental elements and it was super technical. I was just sending her along. And then she'd had this incredible ability. She was like an interpreter. And then she'd be able to then get all that information from these boffins and then write, make it into a readable document that someone like me could read and go, yeah, I get that.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. That's very kind of you.
You still do that, don't you?
That's how, you know, that pays the bills, basically.
Well, that's right, but you still do that, don't you?
I speak fluent nerd. I speak fluent IT, fluent engineer. I appreciate that, because I think I'm a math science background, actually. All through school, I was very strong on the maths and science. I didn't really do any humanities subjects, so all physics and chemistry and all that sort of thing. So I understand the technicalities of things, and I do appreciate the struggles a lot of those people have with communicating simply, because they live in a technical world. So I'm very empathetic to their plight, I suppose. So I enjoy making their point available to other people and accessible.
Okay, good. Now, when we come back from this break, I know anyone listening to now going, Jackie, can you ask her about Hollywood? I've been waiting since 11 o'clock for you to ask the question. We just have to wait a little bit longer, but it's a very, 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 very short break. And you're listening to Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this. That makes me feel like this. I don't know who you are, but I'm joined here by three superstars. I've got here Stephanie Asher, Heidi Catherine and Pippa Hansen, and we are talking about career changes for women. And one of the things that I was thinking about, with particularly being a woman in business, about the use of power. And someone said to me once, and I wish I could remember who it was, but I might have read it, can't remember. It might have been you, Steph, might have been you, Heidi, can't remember. But anyway, someone said about power, the key to power is not to use it very often. And it's the concept of potential power. And I know, Steph, you and I have this conversation about potential power and knowing when to use it. Because the person at the other end, if they don't know when you're going to use it, it keeps them on their toes. And it's an extremely powerful strategy in business. Have you found that useful?
Absolutely, I have. I heard another really interesting tip too from a fellow who's a very powerful mentor. And he objects to the idea of leaning in, quite literally. He said, when you're sitting around a boardroom table, the way to get power is to push your chair back. If you push your chair back, you've immediately got everybody's attention. And I thought that's a really interesting one. So that's a bit of a flip side to our usual impressions of power. Wielding it is what actually makes the impact, and it's not. It's if people think you're going to wield it, and it's a bit like pushing your chair back from the group at the table.
It's surprising the brain. As a neuroscience nut, which is one of my little areas of interest, my nerdy areas of
many
interest.
Many areas of interest.
It's my latest one. I'm a bit obsessed with it because there's been some enormous changes. But my view when I've been studying neuroscience has been, I think from a marketing, or neuromarketing is how I translate that, is that I think attention is the most undervalued resource you have, because if you can't get someone's attention, you can't get anything. There's no memory. People are not going to remember anything if you can't get attention. And there's all that with power as well. If you can't get someone's attention, like you talked about pushing the chair back, you get someone's attention, you surprise the brain, and that is a power move. Remember power dressing? I used to do it. Remember when I was working with you guys and I'd come in with my red jacket on, they go, "Oh, Jack, what's going on?" And heels.
She's in determined mode.
I am. I was going in, you know, my Xena Warrior Princess sword, going in and, you know, battling for budget or whatever I had to do. But did you ever used to do that, Pip, or do you do that now? Are you conscious, you know, of power dressing or any sort of power strategies or...?
I think the dressing one, depending on what you're walking into or what you might know that you're walking into, you certainly put the kit on to make sure it's going to match what you're trying to...
I love that. Put the kit on.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. Put the kit on. I like that. That's really, really great. Now, Pippa, if someone wants to know a bit more about you, where could they find more information about you?
So my website, pippahanson.com.au, and the sportsinjuryclinic.com.au.
And Sports Injury Clinic in Frankston in Nepean Highway. Yes. Whereabouts is it exactly?
365 Nepean Highway, Frankston.
Yeah, okay. So, and what sort of reason would you go there? What would have happened to you? Like you got a sore knee or something, or what's...
Yeah, any injury, from any sporting injury to falling over, slipping, sleeping poorly, sore neck, sore back.
Okay, awesome. That's really good.
Fix it all.
And you're on LinkedIn, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, because that's my other thing, besides neuroscience. I'm LinkedIn, like, get on it, everyone. Come on. If you're in business, get on LinkedIn. If you're on it and you haven't visited your LinkedIn profile regularly, you should be on it at least once a week, at least. Should be every day, actually. But I'll say at least once a week. And just keep tweaking it and things, because people are looking at you. People are watching you, and the stats are saying that people are going to LinkedIn before any other social media platform and before your website. So that's their first impression, important. Heidi Catherine, now just hang on, just have to get down from my soapbox. Now, the Soul Weaver, you can get pre-sales now at Amazon.
That's right.
And you're at HeidiCatherine.com.
That's me, yes.
And when's it released? When's the big reveal?
So it's released on 19th of January, mm-hmm. but something that I've done in the meantime is I have released a prequel novelette. So it introduces you to the characters of the Soul Weaver in the lifetime that they lived before the Soul Weaver takes place, because it's all about... The Soul Weaver is all about loving the same souls over many lifetimes. So what The Moon Child is, it's a free book on Amazon. You can find it by searching for Heidi Catherine, Catherine with a C. And that's a bit easier than searching for it under The Moon Child. But it's a free prequel just to give you an idea of what it's all about and let readers have an opportunity to see whether they like my writing and whether they like the whole story concept before they need to commit any money.
Yeah. Now, as a marketing background and working with me in brand...
Yes.
What's the Heidi Catherine brand?
Uh-huh.
Come on, you knew I was going to ask you that, didn't you? Surely.
I did know you were going to ask. You know, I suspect it, strongly suspect.
So what is it, in a nutshell?
Look, I try and be very genuine, and I do try and be myself with the Heidi Catherine brand, because you can't... It's too difficult to try and be somebody that you're not. So try and be professional, genuine, and just hardworking, and also passionate and excited about what I do as well.
Yeah, because it's interesting because Heidi Catherine's your pen name.
Yes.
It's not, well, it's sort of your real name.
Well, it is. It's my first and second name. Yeah. I don't use my real surname in writing.
What was the reason for that?
Privacy, and also I have an 11-letter Greek surname, and you try looking me up on Amazon with that. Nobody can spell it.
But my point is,
as a brand, it's important.
It's strategic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you need a brand that people can pronounce and that people can spell.
That's it. And if someone's wanting to transition, what quick tip would you give them? Transition careers.
Oh, do something that you love, because if you're doing something that you love, you'll be better at it.
Yeah. Pippa Hansen, what would your tip or advice be for someone who's looking at changing careers?
Yeah, I agree. If you're doing something that you love, you'll make it work. So investigate what you need to make that happen, put it into action and follow your dreams.
I love the investigate. Oh, she uses these words. I almost bought a magnifying glass. I love it. That's really part of Pippa Hansen brand, is that business detective. I love it. Thank you very much for being on the show, Pippa Hansen, Heidi Catherine, and of course the fabulous Stephanie Asher. What advice would you leave everyone with? Career transition.
I'll take it from Susan Alberti. Don't give up. Just never give up. Just keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. Try harder. Grit is what is the fundamental of success.
Awesome. And we're not going to give up. We're back here next week at 11 a.m. We hope you've learned something new today and feel inspired. I'd like to thank my guests, Stephanie, Heidi and Pippa today. And I look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.